In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. This program is live. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to the triune God. Before I go back to John's Gospel, I want to talk just a little bit about the word Christmas. It's very interesting that last night on O'Reilly, they were talking about what's happening in Rhode Island, that the governor will not say it's a Christmas tree, but it's a holiday tree. Then as I was coming home from Dedham, as I was coming home, I heard Howie Carr, someone said, the church hasn't said anything about this, and he was very negative about the church. I want to just tell you why the people that are in charge want to be politically correct. Why Governor Chafee is his name, Lincoln Chafee, why he wants to be politically correct and not say Christmas tree. The very word Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, is the absolute truth, the full revelation of God. Jesus Christ is the full revelation of the Father. I want to tell you that people that do not believe in Jesus Christ and in Christianity, I want to say they want to rid the world of Jesus. I remember several years back, more than several, we were at Lexington Green and we had a live nativity there, because they wouldn't put the manger set on the green. So we got permission to have a live nativity. Why is it that having a nativity scene on the green really freaks people out? I'm going to tell you why. You know, they don't care if there's a big statue of Buddha there and they want to rub his stomach for good luck. They don't care about that. They don't care if there's even a menorah there. And I'm going to tell you, Christianity is the fruit of Judaism. Hallelujah. They don't care about having a menorah there. But they won't even say the word Christmas, because Christ is in Christmas. And it is what they are afraid of, is Jesus Christ. And you know, as I've said so many times before, if we have a manger scene and we look at it, okay, we have a mother, we have a father, we have a baby, we have a donkey, we have a camel, or whatever we have, why is it that they don't want to put this up? Because it's a sweet little scene. Talk about Leave It to Beaver. It's a sweet little scene, you know? If this were only a myth, you know, we can have that. It's like Santa. You know, Santa's fine, but you know what? The manger scene isn't. And you know why? Because they know in their spirits that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the full revelation of the Father. They might not know it in their minds, but they know it in their hearts that if they give in to Christmas, or if they give in to a manger scene, that this Jesus demands their life. And I'm telling you this as something I know. And you know, I think that we need to hear more about Jesus in the churches, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox. We need to hear more about Jesus, about his salvation, that he saves us through his cross, burial, and resurrection, that we have been washed clean with the blood of Jesus. I think the church needs to proclaim Jesus more than ever, because we are in an anti-Christ government and an anti-Christ world. I am not saying that the Antichrist is here. I am not saying that. But I am saying we are in an Antichrist government and an Antichrist world. And the church needs to do her job of proclaiming the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. Because if the church doesn't do it, you know what? The people are lost. Listen to your priest, listen to your minister, and just for a few weeks, count the number of times they say the holy name of Jesus. At one time, we had the feast of the holy name of Jesus. I tell you, it is the holy name. And I was very upset last night with O'Reilly because he used the name of Jesus in vain. He used the name of Jesus in vain. And I was very upset about that. Very upset. You know, I'd rather you say the F word than take Jesus Christ in vain, because Jesus Christ is Lord, because Jesus Christ gave his life for us, because Jesus Christ is the Father's only begotten Son, because Jesus Christ is my Lord, because Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want you to, in your churches, all different types of churches, how many times they say the name of Jesus, not Christ. Christ means Messiah. I'm talking about the name of Jesus. I'm talking about the holy name of Jesus. The world wants to rid the world of Jesus Christ. And yet, I'm telling you, it is he that will judge everybody in the world. And he says, I have not come to judge you, but to save you. But if we don't want to be saved, we will be judged. And I know that's to be the truth. If we don't want to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, we will be judged. So we'll take the manger scenes down. We'll take Christmas out of Christmas tree, because we cannot tolerate the person of Jesus, because he's historical and he is the Lord. And you know, even though our minds don't know it, our spirits know that if we proclaim Jesus, we might have to give our life to him. Because you know, Jesus isn't into Christmas trees, and he's not even into manger scenes. He is into people. He is into people, that he would come to people and save them from their sin and save them from Satan. Yes, he is in his people. He is looking for a people that are well disposed, a people that love him. So, Governor Chafee, you know what? You will be judged by Jesus Christ, not because you call it a holiday tree, but what did you do with the person of Jesus? What did you do with the historical person of Jesus, who gave his life for you, who was buried and who rose from the dead? What will you do? And I don't ask that of Governor Chafee only. I ask that of everyone that's listening to you. What are you going to do with the person of Jesus Christ? What are you going? Are you going to make him your Lord? Or are you just going to use his name in vain? Please, I get offended when I hear the name of Jesus spoken in vain. I get very offended, because he is my Lord, and Jesus has only done good things. He's never done anything bad. Not only did he heal the sick and cast out demons, but he won for us a great salvation through his cross. Hallelujah. So people are afraid of Jesus. That's what it's all about, because he's the truth. So you can have a Buddha on the line, on the green. You can have whatever you want, but you can have a menorah, that's fine, but we cannot have the crib, because this crib tells us that this baby was born to die, born in history, because history is his story. You know what I'm saying? His story. He is the Lord. And I'm going to say one more thing. We have Western civilization only because of Jesus and the followers of Jesus. They saw the need of building hospitals and orphanages for the poor and for the broken. I remember the beautiful hospital in Italy. I think it was called the Baby Jesus Hospital, that they never charged anyone, but every day they would get enough money to operate. This was faith. And the sisters would be the nurses. And, you know, we've come a long way, brother, the wrong way. We don't have faith anymore in the provision of Jesus. We have to make our own provision. Like, for instance, yesterday, the megabucks number, whatever it's called, was $500 million. That's a half a billion. Oh, and everybody's buying their tickets because everybody wants to be a millionaire. Isn't that wonderful? A millionaire? You know, don't win unless you know what you're going to do with the money, because, you know, all that money will destroy people that don't know what to do with their money. All that money will destroy people, believe me, because they don't know what to do with the money. And you'll have friends, you know, that you never knew you had. I didn't win because I didn't play. So I won. I'm in $2. So everybody wanted to become the great millionaire. So foolish. I'm telling you, it's Jesus. You can have 22 million, but unless Jesus is in your heart, you've got nothing. You've got absolutely nothing. You're going to keep on keeping on, hoping one day that you're going to win the megabucks or whatever it's called. I'm telling you, you're not. You're not going to win it. So just get over it and give your life to the Lord. Get over it and give your life to Jesus. He's been waiting for you for a long time, and he wants you. Yes, he wants you. I can see you right now. He wants you. He's been waiting for you for a long time, and you've been having intellectual doubts and what if. But listen, give your life to Jesus today. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, I surrender. That's all you need to do. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender all. Okay, so they want to take Christ out of Christmas because he is the truth. They want to take Christ out of Christmas because he is the way. They want to take Christ out of Christmas because he is the Lord, and there is no Lord but Jesus and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. And you know, even if their brains don't know it, their spirits do, because we came from God. Nobody was created apart from God. All that is was created in, through, and for Jesus Christ. Give your life to Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. And pray for Governor Chafee. We pray for the poor man, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to him, that he's so afraid of saying Christmas. Dear Lord Jesus, show him that you gave your life for him, and love him. Just love him. Love him. Love him. Just love him. That's all we want you to do, is love him and let him know that you love him. Okay, I'm looking at John's gospel now, and I'm going to continue. I might backtrack a little bit. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It is not that we have first loved God, but God has first loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for sin. I never chose Jesus. He chose me from the foundation of the world, and he chose me to go out and bear fruit. But I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. It is God's will that we produce fruit. And as I said, fruit has to do with people. People coming to give their life to Jesus and living for Jesus. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Who am I? I am the one that says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I am the one who loves you the same way the Father loves me. Hallelujah. I am the one that said that I've chosen you, you've not chosen me, and I've chosen you out of the world, and I've chosen you to bring forth fruit, because, you know, the vine must produce fruit or it's going to be thrown into the fire. The branches must produce fruit or it's going to be thrown into the fire. The vine is Jesus. He is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. And the same life that flows through the vine flows through the branches, and we are to bring forth fruit, fruit that endures. We are to bring people to Jesus Christ, that so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Love one another how? Love one another as I have loved you. We are called not only to love one another the way we want to love one another, but to lay down our life for people. Jesus laid down his life for us. We are to lay down our life for people. Now, that doesn't mean that we become doormats for people to wipe their feet on. That doesn't mean that at all. But we are called to love to the point of death. And, you know, I don't know why Christianity has not spread throughout the whole world. Oh, yes, I do. Because we have not loved as Jesus loves. We have not loved as Jesus loved. We've made the churches a big business. A big business. And let me tell you, I am not involved in a business. I am involved with a person. His name is Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua. I have no business. I don't have anything to do with business. I am involved with the person named Jesus. He happens to be the Good Shepherd. He tells me that you haven't chosen him, but he chose me from the foundation of the world. I am involved not with a business. I am involved with the person of Jesus and the people that he loves, and that is the world, the people in the world. Oh my gosh, how he wants to come to you and give you a brand new life. How he wants to put on glasses that are faith glasses. You know, as I said yesterday, when I have no glasses on now and I cannot see. I cannot see the lighthouse, the Boston Lighthouse. But you know what? Watch now. You don't have to watch because you're on the radio. But I just put my glasses on. I call it faith. And I can see things that I couldn't see things without them. I can see the Boston Lighthouse very clearly. And it's a clear day. I can see the ocean. I can see the sand. But when I take my glasses off, everything is a blur. Everything is a blur. That's people living without Jesus. You're seeing everything as a blur. Put the glasses back on. Live by faith and be able to see things that other people don't see. So when people come to me that are sick, I see things that other people don't see. I see Jesus healing the people that come to me. I see Jesus healing the people that come to me. I see because I see with the eyes of faith. Now, I cannot make that happen, but I can believe it. I can believe it and leave it in the hands of the Lord. I was told today of a young woman who is pregnant, and I want you to pray for her because she has two tumors in her body, and she has decided not to have the tumors worked on by chemo or by radiation because she does not want to kill her baby. Do you understand? Now, you need to pray that this woman, that this cancer gets dissolved. This woman is stepping out in faith. This is a heroine. This is a heroine. She comes from Gloucester. I don't know who she is, but I call her, she's a heroine. She would rather give her life up for her unborn child. That's a heroine, especially in 2012, that says, this is my body, and I'll do what I want with my body. Yeah, I do what you want with your body. You'll be facing the judge at the end of time. So if you've had an abortion, just seek the Lord for his mercy. He will forgive you, even if you had 7 abortions or 8 abortions. He will forgive you because he loves you. I remember being with some Irish people many, many years ago, and I was talking pro-life with them, and one of the ladies got very angry with me. And, you know, I was thinking this just yesterday. She must have had an abortion, and she wanted to justify it. You know, when you do something wrong, rather than justify it, admit it so you can go on with your life. And admit it so you can go on with your life. And I just know that so many people have no idea how they are stuck. They belong to the stuck society because they will not give their life to Jesus and their sins. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And you have not chosen me. I chose you. I chose you from the foundation of the world, and I chose you to go out and to bear fruit, and your fruit should endure. Go on now to verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You know the Boston Globe hates the church. You know that. The New York Times hates the church. And who they really hate is Jesus Christ. We need to take this very seriously, that if they hate us, they must be afraid of the one we're preaching about, or the one we should be preaching about, because he is the Savior of the world. He is the one who has come to give us life. He is the one who forgives our sins. He is the one who heals our bodies. If the New York Times and the Boston Globe hate the church, they hate it for a reason. And you know, I think we better start thinking, why do they hate the church? The same reason why they hate the manger. Because the church is supposed to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, and people are supposed to come into relationship with Jesus Christ and surrender their life to Jesus Christ, because the church is the messenger. Remember that the church is the messenger and not the message. The church is the messenger and not the message. The message is the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is Jesus, who gave his life for us. The message is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The message is a person, true God and true man, full revelation of the Father, who shed his blood for us and for our salvation. Hallelujah. The church must never be the message. The church is the messenger of someone greater than she. The church is the messenger of her head. The church is the messenger of her spouse, and it is Jesus. It is Jesus, dear. It is Jesus that we proclaim, and him crucified. St. Paul said, I decided to know nothing when I came to you but Christ and him crucified. I decided, I made up my mind to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what St. Paul said. And you know what? He said that to the Corinthian community, who were an intellectual group of people. They wanted the next new thing, you know? Let me tell you, Paul had nothing new to give them. He decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he preached Jesus to the Corinthian community. I wonder what the churches are preaching today. I wonder what the churches, all the churches, what are we preaching today? No, who are we preaching? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Northeast. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon the churches in the Northeast, Catholic and Protestant and Orthodox. We pray, God, that you would do a new thing and work new wonders for your people. We pray that Jesus Christ would be primary in our preaching. We pray that Jesus Christ would come to us and make us known that we are His and He is ours, and that He loves us in the same way that the Father loves Him. Oh God, I pray for the Northeast, and I pray for the whole church, all churches, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, that You would send real revival, that people's lives would be changed by the power of the blood. Oh, Father, we need You to do something that we can't do. We need You to pour out Your Spirit upon us in great and awesome ways. Oh, Father, look upon the world and weep, 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 because even they will not even mention the name of Your Son. Oh, Father, Your church needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to send Your Spirit in a way that You've never sent Him. Because, Father, we are in the darkness. The world is in the darkness like never before. We kill our children. Oh, Mama, we kill our children. Thank God for that lady that make a decision that she's not going to do anything with the two tumors. We pray for her today, and we pray for her baby. We pray that they would all be safe and that cancer would be dissolved through the blood of Jesus. We pray, God, that You have given us a heroine today in Gloucester. She is a heroine because she thinks more of her baby than she thinks of herself. Oh, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that is exactly the way this woman is loving her baby and her family. She is laying down her life for this baby. Father, see that faith, and I curse those tumors in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus by the blood of Christ, by the precious blood of the Lamb, by Christ Himself. Be healed, be healed, be healed, because you are loved by Jesus the way the Father loves Jesus. I thank You for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. I ask for Your prayers because I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to the end. Please help us so that we won't be begging. I'm not going to beg. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And if you want to pay by PayPal, www.inseason.net. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.